fresh off his solo show on a doomed chocolate whale, Martian DeLellis is high on a rampage after consuming platefuls of raw vegan food. So try to keep up.
Listen as we chat with Martian about the wonders of raw food, biblical diets, and flexitarianism.
Saturday Night Live had a hit with her Mother's Day tribute show hosted by comedy legend Betty White. Facebook, your dreams came true.
Join us as we go on a roller coaster of ideas on the changing nature of being gay. Drag Queen Nina Flowers, and Iron Man 2, the movie, featuring Plastic Man Mickey Rourke.
Hot news, Obama nominates Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. Will her soft closet lesbianism come up during the confirmation process?
Lucian, the male hustler of the moment, says he still wants to be friends with anti-gay preacher George Reekers after their lusty trip to Europe.
The ultimate weapon in the Gulf Coast disaster? Gay hair stuffed in pantyhose.
A new study shows meeting beautiful people can stress you out.
And new websites for deaf gays and a magazine for Middle Eastern gay men. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Happy Mother's Day. Did you call your mommy yesterday? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And we're joined here by our deliciously wacky friend, Martian DeLellis. Can you say hi everyone in your smeggle voice?
Hi everybody, it's Martian.
Oh, I'm going to tickle you, Martian.
Precious.
Start giggling.
Never based by sapphire. Precious. Precious based on the novel pushed by sapphire made into a motion picture soundtrack. Precious.
I think you should have your own.
Hard fuck me.
I think you should have your own show, Jonathan Livingston Schmeagle.
Jonathan Livingston Schmeagle.
And you just travel around the earth and you impart pearls of wisdom.
Okay. I'd shoot pearls of wisdom on
Let's
people.
Google that. Jonathan Livingston.
There's an earthquake, everybody.
Livingston Seagull.
Mark, I've noticed you've changed the decoration since I was last here. You got rid of some of the pizza boxes. There's a body rolled up in a carpet.
Okay, I need you to say
that later.
Most gulls don't bother to learn more than the simplest facts of flight. How to get from shore to food and back
Jesus,
again.
Jesus, that's a lot to remember.
Most gulls don't remember the facts of life.
Okay, so anyways, it was Mother's Day, and everybody celebrated by watching Betty White on Saturday Night Live, which was their best rated, most popular, most retweeted, most everything
It's
show.
Everywhere.
It's a runaway hit, and everybody, Saturday Night Live and Betty White's thanks you, the social media types on Facebook.
And I've started a page to get Betty White to run a triathlon. I want to push her over the edge.
That's too much. I'm going to have her. I'm starting a page for her to compete in the Iditarod. I think she'd be good at dog sled racing.
I think competitive kickboxing.
Well, somebody actually does want her to host the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Which was she in a movie? Don't you have to be in a film?
They want to take her down. They want to take her down.
They're working her into the grave.
So did you guys watch the Saturday Night Live, or at least clips of it on because it's all up on the internet now.
Yeah,
and clips. If you visit our site, feastoffun.com, I posted a comprehensive guide to Betty White on Saturday Night Live.
It's basically
everything.
The whole show.
The entire show I posted on our site. Because that's how we roll on the Feast of Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed is that in every other skit, everybody wanted to be in a skit with her.
Of course. She's a legend.
And in every skit, she's like running out of breath.
She has emphysema from all that smoking.
Really?
Yeah, everybody smoked in the 30s.
I'm like that in my corset. I'm like...
I don't know if she smokes or not.
Well, I mean, I love the highlight is the NPR moment when she did like the whole...
Did you really like that?
I thought it was fantastic. And let me just...
Dusty Muffins.
I want to give her a hug.
She's so lovable. But, you know, it really is remarkable that... this is what Betty White actually said in the opening statement. When I first heard about the campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I know what it is, I have to say, it seems like a huge waste of time. That, that's funny. This is her NPR moment. A lot of people like my pumpkin pie, and of course my carrot cake is legendary, but if there's one thing I'm known for, it's my muffin.
Her dusty muffin.
Her dusty muffin. Later on, it just, it, you know.
It keeps going.
I had such a nice Mother's Day with you guys. I mean,
I know.
I was away from my mom, and I was here on the road traveling, doing my pop-up one-woman show with
what was it? Was the death of Fudgy.
From it was Fudgy's death.
Fudgy's death.
But I really felt like the real show was at the Raw Foods restaurant today. With that, my favorite. We met this woman from Iowa, mm-hmm. who was she drove 6 hours to get to the Raw Food All You Can Eat brunch.
Really? She just came for Raw Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's describe what it was. Mm-hmm. So it,
let's read what's her the name social of the security number right now.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Karen's. It's Karen's.
Right? Karen's with a Y. Because in the 90s,
lesbian.
Everything that was touched by a lesbian woman was spelled with a Y,
mm-hmm.
including like the Mitch. Word women. What?
And bitch.
And bitch with a Y, mm-hmm. and everything. So
and
so,
everything at Raw Restaurant says Raw in the title, like Ravolution or Robitussin or Rawgasm.
So we were lucky enough to sit next to Gail and Rydell.
If you're out there, hey.
And she gave me her business card, and she has a website, Hakers.com.
Hakers?
Yeah, so like Green Acres, but with an H.
I love her, though.
And she teaches, let me just explain to the listeners, she teaches health from a biblical perspective.
Ooh.
So she was talking about how it's possible to be a Christian and a vegan raw foods aficionado.
And well, she's like, the biggest tip for health is don't get stoned.
Because in the Bible, people ate honey, mm-hmm. people ate nuts, people ate
polyester.
Imaginary food that just came down from heaven. Manna.
And so
they ate fish, yeah. though. I thought they ate fish.
They did eat fish. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that later on. But so we went to this restaurant called Karen's. And it had
so good free advertising for Karen's.
Why don't you describe what it is?
It's a raw food vegan place. And they had all you can eat brunch, and they were heavy on Mexican food today, and they had wonderful, wonderful raspberry tarts and stuffed mushrooms, which I didn't really care for.
How do you make a tart without cooking it?
I don't.
What do you know. Do for a crust?
Okay, let me describe the dessert. I really thought was remarkable, mm-hmm. which is they described it as a cheesecake. They like to, you know, one thing I noticed about all these raw food vegan people, instead of just allowing the food to stand on its own, they always wanted to compare it to things that they were not eating,
A
hamburger, like cheese, like cheesecake, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I don't personally like. I was attracted to the food, and I thought it stood on its own. You know, why compare it? Don't say like, a carrot is a vegan hot dog.
Or like vegan pig testicles or like vegan crocodile eyeballs or something.
So we had this wonderful dessert, and it was what I understood it was made. It was a gelatinous but creamy cheesecake-like dessert made out of strawberries, beets, and psyllium husks.
Right? Yeah, the psyllium husk really bulks it up.
And it was delicious. And then so it had this crust made out of ground nuts and honey, and it was really good.
But my favorite part of the conversation was when we started talking about the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, because we were sitting next to Gail, and she was with her son, and he brought her a nice rose, very good son.
How sweet.
And she, you know, really like, kind of like the son's like a little bit shy and kind of like, I can't believe I'm eating this place with my mom. And so she turns to us because we're the colorful people in the room, and everybody was kind of like chatty, and she wants to tell us about her biblical beliefs and how she likes to talk to God and, mm-hmm. and talk to God about veganism and raw foods mm-hmm. diet. And then she said what?
She said something about the apocalypse, and I asked her when the next one would be because there was like Y2K in 2012, and I'm just mm-hmm. curious what the next one was. But then I said something about like how living in LA, it feels like there could be an apocalypse. And I just imagine sometimes looking out over the city that there's going to be like a mushroom cloud, like blowing up and getting bigger and like the car windshield just crashing into my face and stuff. And I just thought that was the best part of the conversation because she was so open to it.
Now tell the people why I didn't go.
Because you don't like eating raw foods because it gives you gas.
No, that's not what it was. It's
because you're racist.
No, because last night I had a nightmare that we went, and during the buffet, we were forced to sit through mass. Like, there was going to be some kind of religious service. And then you guys, what did you guys do? You guys had, like, this religious service with this lady. So I had a nightmare, so I was just like, I'm not going to eat it. So I had a bad disposition.
So she's telling us, telling me about how, you know, it in Adam and Eve, and there's a biblical passage.
Ezekiel
1:13 or something.
That's a brand of bread.
It is, and it has a biblical passage on it. But I was like, have you read Ezekiel? What was the name? Karen? No, it was
Gail.
I was like, have you read Ezekiel, Gail? It's about a spaceship. It's about a flying disc with lights on it and creatures with lots of legs that are bent backwards and several eyes. I mean, you can pick it up in any hotel and just read Ezekiel, and it's about aliens and spaceships.
You pick up a Gideon's Bible?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that for real?
But I said to her, I was like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your theology. And she was kind of like, I'm trying to be very tolerant. You know, and I said, well, I'm sorry, did I mean theology? I meant to say mythology.
Oh, she was trying to say to you,
I'm trying to be very tolerant to the fact that you are blasphemous with my religious beliefs. Wow. And I was like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm just not familiar with your theology. And she said, she said, I'm trying to be, and I said, I'm sorry, did I mean to say theology? I meant mythology. Because it's crazy, but I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not crazy. Wanting to eat healthy and incorporating fruits and vegetables into your diet and eating healthier, higher fiber foods is a good idea.
Yeah.
Even what's interesting, though, is everybody wanted me to know if I was a raw foods person.
Oh, really? Because they could smell it. They could smell meat on you, I bet.
They did, and they got hungry.
Many people believe the most blatant example of UFOs in the Bible is the account of Ezekiel and the wheels. Although there are many accounts in the Bible that do indeed support the fact that ancient man was visited by the rebel Benamalel, fallen angels pretending to be aliens mistaken for gods.
Wow.
There you go. So the Bible is basically the screenplay to The X-Files.
Or Close Encounters.
Or My Life Story Unauthorized.
Martian is the new messiah.
Well, you know, they said that, like, in World War II, the Japanese soldiers could smell the American soldiers from far away because they could smell, like, butter in their sweat.
I believe it. Mm-hmm.
So they were asking me, have you considered, you know, because it was a situation where I feel like a lot of the reason that people like to eat raw foods or be vegan is not necessarily because they want to eat healthier, is because they want to restrict an S&M relationship with food. And so they like the rules.
And it's like a cult.
It's like a cult. And so, you know, just like anybody who thinks that, like, we're very pro fermented foods. And it was interesting, a lot of the people at the raw foods restaurant didn't know too much about kombucha.
So you were like a scholar.
He was totally like a walking Wikipedia, like kombucha Wikipedia.
So it was a lot of your fun. Now, I read this interesting article that had been originally published in September of last year, of 2008, actually, in Newsweek, that I thought would be really relevant to you. Do you know that Martian? Molly Katzen,
who's
Martian,
that?
She's kind of like a big figure in vegetarian and healthy eating. She's the one of the founders of the Moosewood restaurant.
I was going to say Moosewood.
And she came out with a Moosewood cookbook, the Enchanted Broccoli Forest cookbook. And in her latest cookbook, she has a recipe for beef stew. Real stew with real beef. And what
scandalous.
Which is a little bit scandalous. Moosewood's always been a flexitarian. Here's a new term.
Flexitarian
is somebody who's vegetarian for most of the time, but from time to time, like Thanksgiving or on Sundays or something, they like to eat fish.
Or when I sneak meat into your sister's food and she doesn't know it.
Or like, something like that.
Like beef broth.
And so, you know, so it's an interesting idea because it's about diversity in your food, but the flexitarians are all about having farm-raised Kobe-style beef or very respect, you know.
They make love to the beef before they kill it.
I guess so. But, you know, because a lot of the beef and chicken and poultry that we eat and has a lot of pesticides and, well, not pesticides, but antibiotics, and they're not raised in the most ethical ways. So I thought that was an interesting idea. I mean, what do you think about that, Martian?
I love bringing people to raw food places and then having them judge everybody. Well, it was a happy Mother's Day.
Would you feel like I was judging people there?
Kind of, but in a really cute way. I love just injecting ourselves into other people's conversations. I love learning more about the Bible and veganism and people's expensive water filters and what you know about kombucha. And
but it was like a social scene, though.
It was like a hip scene.
Let's say you go to the old, because this is an all-you-can-eat buffet. So if you went to like old country buffet, you don't really talk to that many other people.
I know, you're like, how many trans fatty acids are in your hash brown?
But this is an all-you-can-eat vegan buffet here in Chicago, and I highly recommend it. It's just $30, a matter of time.
Right?
What?
It was $30. Was it
$30
worth it?
Plus tax and tip. Highly recommended. Try to go, call ahead, and try to go a day where they actually focus on Asian-style cuisine as opposed to Mexican, because I felt like the tamales were a bit heavy, because they use basically uncooked poblano peppers in their food, and it was like, it hit me like a stone.
What did they use for the corn for the tamale?
I have no idea.
Real corn.
So they used real corn.
They soak it in water for 3 or 4 days.
They did that with rice.
Rice, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can you make kombucha though if you're going to do raw? Because you can't boil water, can you?
Well, I
think you can.
You can. It's not cooking.
There's not enzymes in it, or maybe there are.
The way I understand it is, it's not the fact that it's raw is important as the fact that the enzymes are not destroyed.
Right.
Because you can heat it up until like 108 degrees.
But I think in any cult, there's like crazy people that are like, no, you must follow the rules no matter what. And so like, maybe it is for enzymes for some people, and maybe it's just for following rules for other people. Because when I went to Whole Foods here, I was like asking, is there any raw food? And this lady offered me like a raw pizza that hadn't been cooked, and she was like, you can just bring it home and put it in your oven, it's raw.
She was basically saying, fuck you, Marcia. I want to remind people that today's show is also brought to you in part by Pride Fest Milwaukee. Join us this June 11th through the 13th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest in Milwaukee on the Summer Fest grounds.
There's going to be over 150 acts, including Kathy Griffin, Patti LaBelle, Joan Rivers, Amanda Lepore. She'll be walking around with her clothes on, or maybe with her clothes off.
I bet off.
Wow.
Bruce Vilanch, definitely with his clothes on. Jeffree Star, and a whole lot more. Visit PrideFest.com and book your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's the 11th through the 13th on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'll see you there.
Mm-hmm. That'd be so fun to get a picture with Joan Rivers and Amanda Lepore.
Or confusing one with the other. You know, speaking of plastic surgery, I want to say, we saw Iron Man the movie.
Yes.
Iron Man 2, which is a runaway box office hit, even though despite that critics say it's rambling, just like this show, in its plot line and its characters. And it was sort of like an ad for the sequel Iron Man 3 and the Avengers coming up. Avengers movie, as well as the Thor. I mean, they were just trying to squeeze in any reference to any Marvel
comics. Was
Thor
in there?
They were lightly referencing the whole Marvel comics universe in the film. But and so, I have to say, staring at Mickey Rourke's face and Gary Shandling's face, they need to rename that movie Plastic Man.
Were they like as bad as Kenny Rogers?
It was along like same kind of lines for sure. I didn't know whose lips were plumped more.
And because the film is really big up on that screen, and you see Gary Shandling's, I describe it as bloated and disfigured face, slathered on with makeup, but really not doing much to sort of make you not wince.
That really hits close to home.
Why? Because you feel like you're bloated and disfigured?
I feel bloated, yeah. When I put on makeup, I feel bloated afterwards.
Are you eating a lot of salt? Because salt will bloat you.
Really?
Yeah absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's a salt makes you retain water. Too.
So I thought it was really bizarre seeing Gary Shandling and saw Mickey Rourke's face. And I thought, couldn't they maybe use a long shot with them? Or
there could have been something they could have done.
Because it's, you know, for Mickey, for the villain, which I thought he was really phenomenal as a Russian villain who kind of is like grunt and
he doesn't say much. He's
But I thought that was very fitting with the character. Yeah. And the Russian people that we know here in Chicago, like, They're sort of like that way, you know?
Life is shitty.
Oh my god, am I allowed to read something a viewer said?
Yeah, but can you save that to the end of the show?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're like Iron Man 2 right now, all over the place.
Close your notebook. Okay, you're getting distracted.
Because you're not paying attention to what we're saying.
I'm trying real hard. Oh,
that makes us angry.
Okay.
And then we get punchy.
Very sorry.
Can you do the please don't beat me up?
Please don't beat me up, fellas. I can't help it. My brain is looking at.
Take your medication right now, Marcy. So, I don't know. What do you think about Iron Man 2? I mean, I'm doing all the talking here, then people are right. Fausto talks a lot, and I'm like, well, it's because our guests don't talk, but.
He didn't see it, and I'll just say this, and what we can wrap up Iron Man 2, and I'll tell you, it was, you know, like you said, it was a long and rambling movie. It really didn't go very far, but it was entertaining, and it was fun to see plastic surgery nightmares.
Betty White. What do you guys think about
Betty White? We already covered Betty White. Let's move on to.
No, we did it.
Yeah, we did.
Well, okay.
Of course we did.
Anyway, so let's move on. Nina Flowers. We saw Nina Flowers.
She was like, work it, work it.
So last night we went to Spin. I want to say thank you to Robert for getting us in and getting Marshawn.
That was so nice. It felt like such a VIP.
You were?
She was VIP. Like cross between a Christmas tree from The Wizard of Oz and Santa Claus that you could get your picture taken with. It was wonderful. And a unicorn that did flips.
It really did seem like it was like you were a little kid waiting in line to see Santa Claus when that big line.
It was just like Santa Claus because when you had your photo taken with Nina Flowers, they're like, get out!
Oh, yeah. I barely had time to pee on her lap.
I know. There were lots of gay elves that were like grabbing my arm and forcing me around.
And Mystique was there and I tried to wave. I'm like, hi, Mystique. And she looked at me like, who are you? I'm like, you're on television. Just say hi back. You know?
Who's Mystique?
Mystique for the I'm from Chicago, bitch, I will cut you, or whatever she said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was there.
She was?
Yeah, that was that black girl, or the black guy that was sitting there.
Oh, I would have loved to have said hi.
You didn't recognize him?
I didn't recognize him at all.
Oh, wow.
That's no.
I didn't either. Hi, Mystique.
Yeah. I would have loved to say hi. Yeah. I will cut a bitch. I'm surprised that none of those
Chicago.
Queens
like... What did she say? What was the exact quote?
I don't. I'm it was from Chicago, and I will cut you. Cut a bitch.
There was like a decoy Nina Flowers there too.
That was Xander.
Like a dark decoy.
Well,
Nina
you know,
Flowers.
Ever since that third, the fourth Star Wars film where they had Queen Amidala and her decoys.
She was there too.
Every drag queen has decoys now whenever they appear, especially those kind of like fantasy costume inspired ones.
No, the Queen Amidala that you were saying, she goes, that looks like Queen Amidala hungover, like woke up in the gutter. And that's actually Saucy Firewater.
Hi, Saucy. Great.
And what was her story? Like, she was... like mugged and left for dead or something.
Who was?
There was another drag queen.
Oh,
that...
no, that was Xander. That's the one you were talking about. Xander had something happened to him. I don't. We're gonna get him on the show and he can tell you about it. But he had. I think he got picked up for some kind of trick and they just like robbed him and beat him and like kept him like tied
awful.
Him up with like duct tape. It's a real tragedy.
So yeah, so it was great seeing Nina Flowers and all the people there, and so hopefully we'll actually get some of these people from RuPaul's Drag Race on the show if they want to come and get the special Feast of Fun
treatment.
I loved
Chantel. Hi, Chantel.
Chantel,
I loved it when she juggled. I mean,
that's the first season drag queen from the Las Vegas one.
I kind of think Santino's cute, but I just didn't agree with him on that. I loved it when she was juggling. I thought it was great that she was circus. I think there needed to be more drag queens with special skills.
Absolutely, rather than just like lip syncing to a song.
Yeah.
And for everyone who ever has a disagreement or dislike for RuPaul's Drag Race, all I gotta say is, what's stopping you from doing a television show or a web series about drag queens in your own hometown? It's like, to me, I'm glad that RuPaul's Drag Race exists. It's not the best, you know, it really is served to promote RuPaul's career, but I don't think they're trying to hide that fact.
No, not at all.
And it has brought all these drag queens out of obscurity. I mean, certainly Nina Flowers is somebody from well-known in Puerto Rico that most Americans have no idea who she is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great seeing them touring around the country. And
you know, because look, Lady Bonnie and Jackie Beat and Head of Lettuce, they can't be everywhere.
And they're actually on the planning with Jack McEnroth from Project Runway. They're in the process of starting their own reality TV show, The Real Drag Queens of New York City.
Ooh.
For Lifetime? Or
I have no idea. I think they're selling it right
for
now.
Lifetime.
But Jack McEnroth wrote to me on Facebook, and he said that as soon as they have a date for release, that he'll come on the show and all the drag queens will come and talk about it.
And when's Janet Jackson's producing movie coming out? Janet Jackson has a movie about trannies coming out, a documentary.
She does.
Yeah.
Really?
She dropped some money on it.
Oh, she's not in it, or she's not.
No, but she's the executive producer, and it's like about real life trannies from New York.
I didn't realize Janet Jackson was so into trannies from New York.
She's a tranny chaser?
I don't know. I mean, maybe she's healed or something now.
Wow. Penny from Good Times. Who would have known?
Yeah, Penny.
She probably is trying to like fulfill her brother's dream or something like that. Mm. You know?
There's a guy who's getting death threats who claims he was Michael Jackson's lover. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he had to move or something. Some white
kid?
No, it's this big white chubby guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about
it. If you're out there, we want to talk to you.
I think he was like a dentist or something like that. I don't know. He worked for Michael's plastic surgeon.
Or he flossed Michael.
So the big news that's just announced moments ago before we started taping is that President Obama has declared that his favorite new Supreme Court judge nominee is going to be Kegel, who is known... Kagan. Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court, who is going to be, I guess, the third female justice and the first... she might be the first Jewish American to be in the Supreme Court.
Oh, I'm sure she's definitely not Jewish.
There's going to be
Isn't Ginsburg Jewish?
That's right. I'm sorry. But what's really remarkable is that she's the first kind of rosy lesbian, somewhat in the transparent closet, to become part of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually fought for gay rights to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So she has a record.
Ooh.
I bet there's going to be some action during deliberations between her and Sonia Sotomayor under their robes and stuff.
Maybe so.
They'll be scissoring under those robes and nobody will even know.
So I called Phil Reese, who's our contributor for politics and activism on the site, and asked him, is Kagan's sexuality... The fact that she is, a lot of people have seen her with her partner, that she is a lesbian in real life, not just a nudge, nudge, winch, wink, Sotomayor lesbian, but one that actually is a lesbian. And will her sexuality come up in the nomination process? And he said, no.
No.
And on Tuesday, you'll read about it on Feast of Fun, but I'll give you a hint. It's because a lot of the conservative Republican senators are in the same situation as Kagan is, and they don't want to open up the can of worms that asking her about her sexuality would bring. So a lot of conservative senators like Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, he's not going to bring that up because he himself is in the closet.
I wish they could all just go on gay roulette and come out at the same time.
Let's see who's on gay roulette.
Has anyone seen anyone with a chicken, a rubber chicken?
Oh my God, we've been having fun all day with the chicken on.
So you've been going to like six different kind of video roulette sites and you've been traumatizing these poor men who want to get off.
They do want it. And some want to laugh, though.
And I was like, suck my cock. And then the chicken.
And then there's one French guy, he's like, that is not a cock, it is a poulet. I'm like, yes, it's Henrietta. And then he's like, and then you asked, he goes, can I pee on you? And then you said,
I said pee into the camera.
Yeah.
So poulet is French for chicken?
For chicken, yes.
Okay. I'm like so ready to stop doing live puppet shows and just make really elaborate live puppet shows for gay roulette.
Marshawn, I don't know what's stomping you. This is an intervention right now.
Oh, no. I didn't, when I wasn't there for you for your ballerina.
No, this
recital.
Is an intervention. You are, I mean, all craziness aside, you're one of the most creative and brilliant minds of our generation in terms of puppetry.
Keep going.
And very irreverent voicing. And very bizarre. It's like, what's keeping you from doing a video blog? I mean, you would be a
video
superstar.
Illiterate, you guys. I'm cyber
Listen, if Chris Crocker can
I'm
do it, anybody
illiterate.
Can.
If you can get a college degree, you can figure out how to work a webcam. You just did a webcam for all the roulettes. All the choking of the chicken.
Hey, you're right. Maybe you should do it. You guys are right. I should start making a better life for myself now.
Now, put down the gun and step away from it.
Ooh, how
you
long
guys,
before somebody
I'm
actually
sorry,
does
sorry, I wasn't there for Mother's Day because I was busy making a live performance and not doing something on the internet to entertain people.
You were pretty good, though, I have to say.
Yeah. That was
you
so
were the best
much
thing
fun.
The show.
For the roulette or for the?
Well, so Martian was here in town, and you were part of a puppetry festival.
Yeah, we need to establish that. Thank you.
Well, because people aren't psychic, they don't know what the
I
hell
know,
you're talking
and
about.
I'm terrible. I'm
you know?
Terrible.
You're like, but
I'm terrible, everybody. I'm sorry, Fausto. I didn't establish that. I was in a puppet festival called Banners and Cranks, a festival of Contrastoria, which is kind of like PowerPoint, where people are talking and pointing at pictures and stuff.
What's and it called?
It's called Contrastoria.
Contra?
Cantra. I'm totally not spelling it right.
Contrastoria. So yeah, okay. I wondered because that seemed to be the common theme where mm-hmm. people were telling stories and pointing at pictures and things
and
like that.
Part of the reason, just to ADD back to Chantel, that I think it's cool is that her circusness is cool is because like I'm a drag person doing like pop up books mm-hmm. and I just admire people with like weird skills that combine things like that.
Well, and so to describe what we saw, you were in drag with Jimmy's, the little things they put on ice cream glued onto your lips.
Fabulous, yes.
And so you could see that on feastoffun.com. There's a picture of Martian in drag. And you were telling the story of the obese shut-in, morbidly obese shut-in, Linda Carvel, and how she
very similar
killed
to Kegel, yeah.
Fudgy the whale.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an assistant sort of helping you tell the story with a pop-up book.
Yeah, well, I had a pop-up book, and I had an assistant from the ice cream factory with a security camera that would enlarge the pop-up books on a screen behind me. And that's how I chose to tell that story. It was very film noir. It was all in black and white and brown.
And I had a fantastic time, but you know, I have to say that some of the pieces didn't hold up to the quality of what you had. You know?
I'll take I'll see the compliment in that, yeah. And I won't deflect it, and I accept the compliment.
So they were giving out these silver pens, and one of the performers said, "You get to write your own wish into the program, and your wish will come true." And what did you write, Mark?
I wrote, "Don't bore Nina."
And Nina was nothing.
Nina
but
meaning
boring.
Me. There was a moment I did fall asleep.
And Foster just fell. He was laughing. But I have to tell you, you missed it because you went to chase Martian and take photos of him. That company, their first piece was absolutely wonderful. It was about a sloth and how it lives in this symbiotic relationship with this green algae and this moth, and it was just a really fantastic little story.
Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm. George Reeker's Luggage Carriers Incorporated. What is that?
That's a Facebook group, because you know it was bound to happen.
Do you have to have a perv stash to join?
No, you don't have to have a perv stash.
So who is
stash.
George Reeker's?
George Reeker's, of course, is the anti-gay Baptist minister who fought against gay adoption in Florida, who was recently caught taking a rent boy, which is a prostitute, to Europe. And his prostitute just spoke on CNN this past weekend and told him about all the things he had to do, because he had to sign a little contract where he had to carry Lucian, the rent boy, had to carry George's luggage. He had to massage him for an hour a day. Now, it doesn't say in the contract that he had to give him a long stroke, which is like he would have to stroke him from the penis and then touch him all the way down to his anus. That's what he really...
It said that?
It didn't say that in the contract, but that's what he liked. He wanted what was called the long stroke. That's George's term.
But emails are just as admissible.
Well, it wasn't in an email either. This was the conversation. But this was the contract, and they had to eat two meals a day together and spend 8 hours a day. And he only got $75 a day.
What?
But he also got a trip to Europe.
Come pay us a visit in Chicago.
I know. That's like next to nothing.
I would love to see you for $76.
And so on Facebook, I typed in George's name because I was like, I wonder what kind of group popped up. So they have a George Wreckers Luggage Carriers, and they're looking for hired hands and say that this is, quote, we'll be holding your career fair this weekend at the pool outside our offices. Shirts are discouraged.
Is this at a college job fair?
Yeah, yeah. Anybody can apply.
Did you see a picture of the Lucian, the male escort that traveled with George?
I saw the video of him.
Yeah, he's good looking guy.
He's like a young Fabio.
He's only 20. He's a baby.
What I thought was interesting is that when I saw his haircut, I said, that looks familiar. Mm-hmm. And so I went into my drag archives, and I happened to actually have a wig that looks just like him, and I posted it on our website. Mm-hmm. And of course, Steven Peterson.
God love him.
He goes, you know how to turn any news. What is it exactly did he say?
Oh, where is it?
He said, you know how to turn any news item into yourself.
And What's wrong with that?
What I said is like, well, thank you for pointing out my flaws. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like,
I'm pointing out
that he looks like that haircut looks like the haircut that I used to have.
I think turning any news story into your story is a really good skill that needs to be validated. And I validate it, Fausto. This is your intervention.
Thank you.
I think it's important. But I want to read your comment exactly because I actually helped you write it.
if you're listening, Steven,
I'm sure he probably is. If he's not listening, his boyfriend Gabe is listening.
And hi, Gabe.
Gabe, write to me. I have a video I want to send you. You'll be surprised. So this is what you write. Well, last I checked, the site is called Feast of Fun, not general gay news about nobody. Obviously, I would compare this to my own hair because it looks like my own hair. And those avatar not because he complained about the avatar before. Pause for a second.
Okay. So I was also comparing the fact that the Avatar Na'vi, the aliens from the film Avatar, physically in their makeup on their face look like what I used to do in drag about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh. So, all right, so I'll continue. And those Avatar Na'vi did look a lot like me in my own makeup. So what's your problem? Would you rather have me make it about you? Because you do not want that kind of attention.
And so here we are.
And I wrote, zing!
Zing. But, you know, it's like, it's all fun until somebody's feelings get hurt.
I know.
So hopefully your feelings
are hurt. And they always do.
They always, always do.
If you're out there, hi.
How are you?
Listen, do you want to take a letter from a listener?
Yeah, let's hear that.
Okay, so this is a letter from, what's his name there, Bill?
His name is Bill. And he says, I lament the passing of signs of the old gay liberation.
You're going to have to do it faster.
Listen. He said, I lament the passing of signs of the old gay liberation movement. I recently watched an HGTV House Hunters program where a straight couple from India was looking at houses for sale in San Francisco, some of which were obviously gay reclaimed renovations of South Market. And I've heard about the beginnings of the dissolution of Boys Town in Chicago. Oh, that's so sad.
Hey, Marcia, stop for a sec. I'm not sure if people are understanding what you're saying.
Okay.
So why don't you read it in your own voice? Why don't you read it in your own voice?
Okay. This is from Bill.
Film noir.
This is from Bill. And he says, I lament the passings of signs of the old gay liberation movement. I recently watched HDTV House Hunters program where a straight couple from India was looking at houses for sale in San Francisco, some of which were obviously gay reclaimed renovations of South Market. And I've heard about the beginnings of the dissolution of Boys Town in Chicago. Gay bookstores disappearing around the country also make me sad. Before gay community centers and easy access, however impersonable, to information on the internet, there were places where you went to get information. Progress is inevitable, but I don't think logo and the internet really replaced the network of gay bookstores, bars, and other establishments that used to be so vital to the gay nation. I hope someone does a documentary on gay things that aren't there anymore.
Oh.
Oh.
So can you translate that into English?
Well, I'll tell you, this person laments the fact that, like, some gay neighborhoods are changing, gay bookstores are closed, that, you know, things aren't happening like they used to. I think he had a special and unique experience, and laments the fact that experience other people aren't necessarily having now.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
No one is stopping you mm-hmm. from writing this letter that is really brilliant. Tell us a story.
Mm-hmm.
Post it on feastoffun.com/fresh. Mm-hmm. If it's good, we'll feature it.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets a lot of attention, a lot of traffic, a lot of comments, it'll be automatically featured. Either way, it's something. If the story worth telling, tell. No one's stopping you from telling.
But I think
that
what
story.
He's saying, though, too, is he's missing that kind of community. I think you have to kind of read behind, you know, he's missing that the gay neighborhoods have changed. He's missing he can't go to a bookstore and hang out. I don't know.
Bill, I noticed you didn't use a lot of commas or semicolons, and I just wanted to encourage you to keep up the good work and to keep saying your opinion, because I do think this gay disappearing act is kind of sad, and but well, also well, Buddhism could be something that you might want to look into too, not getting too attached to things, because things change and it's okay.
That's a good
idea.
You gotta
change too.
So Martian, I mean, why are some things that we, like, for example, I guess it's pretty obvious again that bookstores in general and gay bookstores mm-hmm. specifically are disappearing. But why are some other things changing? Is it because we're becoming more integrated into society? Or is it that our gay rights movement is suffering and we don't have the same tools and resources that we used to have?
I feel like we go back and forth. Like, we don't have, like, all of that street rage of ACT UP anymore. And then there's this other strand of, like, McHomos and Stepford gays that are mm-hmm. just, like, so Abercrombie and Fitching and just judging, and there's only one way to be, and they'll press F9 on gay roulette in a matter of seconds if you don't look normal. And I feel like there's a lot of things going on, and people don't go to bookstores mm-hmm. as much in general, but at the same time, there isn't that anger in the streets.
Well, I also think too is that back then too, there was that kind of, I don't know, we had so much time on our hands back then. It seems like, you know, if you wanted to go to a bookstore, it was a big deal, so you had to, like, prepare for it. You're like, I gotta go to the bookstore, I gotta go check things out, you know. And so you went, and it was like an accomplishment. And now you're just like, oh, I could just look online and get things done, and then I can go about my day.
And for some books, there's more comments about whether it's a good book or not than there is as much of a book, you know. There's, like, pages of it.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that some of the reviews on sites like Amazon are longer than the books themselves?
Yes, and it's, like, hard to make mm-hmm. a decision nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you want to go make research, mm-hmm. do research about it, and if you're online doing research about it, why wouldn't you want to get it for, like, a little bit cheaper than if you actually went into a store online?
Mm-hmm. I want to say something that I am a person who came of age before the internet existed. Like Martian, we were very much involved in the gay rights movement as young people, and we did hang out in gay bookstores, and we did go participate in actions, and we've seen our community and our life experiences get impacted by social media and by the internet and by blogs. And I personally think that we're better for it, not worse for it. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's not, you know, for every Starbucks, which is homogenized, heartless corporate coffee giant, mm-hmm. homogenizes our cafes and our bookstores, I think, you know, we have new, interesting ways of reaching out to each other and to share and connect with each other that have replaced these enclaves that we used to have. And I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, time marches on and different things happen and you celebrate different things. You know, they have built pylons in Boys Town to just kind of, like, anchor that neighborhood there. So it'll stay around for a while. And if it moves to Albany Park, then, you know, it moves to Albany Park.
And well, there are some great gay community centers in major mm-hmm. cities across the United States that do have events and things to do for people of different generations, or people who don't like coffee or alcohol mm-hmm. or
and
loud
Bill,
music.
You can also be, I know it's sad that things change sometimes, but you can also be proactive, and maybe you could start, like, a gay reading group in your own living room or something. And
yeah, and with
and start selling books and
social things. Media and Feast of, post it on feastoffun.com/fresh.
use Twitter, use Facebook to find people geographically close to you, and you can hang out together and read, you know, The Well of Loneliness.
Well, have you queens read any good books lately?
No.
I'm actually trying to get a copy of Smashing Magazine's Guide to Twitter the iBook.
Let's have a book discussion group or something.
That'd
let's
be
pick
fun.
A book and we'll do it.
Yeah. Pick a book.
You have to pick it.
I'm really excited about the Oprah biography by Kitty Kelly.
Maybe we need to read that.
We need to coordinate
collectively.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you actually were on Oprah as a teenager.
Yeah, in 1994, I helped get this gay student rights law passed, and then I got all this media attention in Massachusetts and went on to the Art Institute of Chicago, but that was all at the tail end of it, and she sent a limo over, and I sat in the front row, and
did you get to touch her?
I don't remember that, if I did or I didn't.
Because I think that was still her, 1994 was still
she
her
she was touching
face.
People back then.
It was like when she was like, I'm every woman. That was like the commercial intro.
Right.
But there were just these kids, and they were like, we don't want no fag staring at us in the shower. And I was like, don't flatter yourself. And she was like, what did you say? And she shoved the microphone into my face. And I was like, don't flatter yourself. And then it got punctuated with this huge clap. And then they cut to a commercial to make it even more dramatic. And then right before the commercial, Melissa Etheridge was like strumming on her guitar in a pre-recorded clip. And she was like, yeah, my childhood was hard and stuff. And then there were just like a million guests. And so I only had like 2 seconds to make a comment, even though I was a guest.
Did it change your life in any way?
It made me look at the media from inside out a little bit, because it doesn't all happen in real time, and it starts out in a cold studio and there's hot lights and they tell you to wear solid colors, see, so you can be more seeable. And I was mad at her at the time. I was only 18, but I was mad at her at the time for picking those stupid people to be on and have their stupid opinion. But then I realized later on, but there would be no drama if there was no conflict. Mm-hmm. And then how would people agree with me or them if everyone was like, we all agree.
They needed some kind of conflict.
Yeah. So I forgive you, Oprah.
Well, I'm sure she can sleep better now.
Still interested in your gay crush on Diane Sawyer, and if you want to talk about it, you could come on the show.
The Kitty Kelly Oprah Winfrey book is front page and center. If I can actually get it on like a Amazon Kindle and stuff, I just don't, you know, the idea of buying a physical book.
Oh, shut up.
Do any crooked.
You sound so stupid when you say that.
What do you mean?
Hey, Will, please don't hate each other. Hey,
an actual book made out of a tree?
If there's any crooked book packers that want to mail us a copy,
well,
it fell off a truck.
If you happen to come across one of a defective copy.
So you prefer reading actual physical books?
I love
still.
Books. Yes, of course. Books are wonderful.
But you can get paper cuts.
It's okay. I can live with that. I like websites. Listen,
would you rather have macular degeneration or paper cuts?
So talk about the study of beautiful people.
Yeah. So
and the stressful way.
Have you been stressed out since you've been here?
He does look a little bit stressed.
You looked a little stressed.
I was.
I think it's from hanging out with us.
No, it was so fun. Feast of fun.
Listen to this, Marshall.
Listen to this. So they say that if you're around attractive people, that they stress you out. So the levels of cortisol produced by a body that's under physical or psychological stress rise dramatically when you're around somebody who you find attractive.
I did feel that at the spin.
Yeah.
At the spin. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of attractive people, and I did feel that. Mm-hmm. Yes, the cortisol.
Where is the stress coming from? Is it the fact that we're not connecting sexually with these people that we're attracted to, or is it the fact that we feel rejected by them?
Well, they did a study, and they put men in a room with Sudoku puzzles, and they were asked to solve them. And so they had like a stranger, like one of two strangers come in, a man or a woman, and the people that had the woman, that they were, because they were supposedly like straight guys, that they couldn't solve it as well because they were stressed out.
Or maybe the study should be renamed that straight guys get stressed out when hot woman comes into the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
But I think that probably happens with other people too. So I don't know. The researchers concluded, this is a quote, "In this study, we considered that for most men, the presence of an attractive woman may induce the perception that there is an opportunity for courtship." So I guess it kind of like stretches you out, so it's pressure, and then you kind of get horny. But don't you kind of feel, though, like some of your best orgasms and your sex things happen when you're kind of stressed and you can just like pounce on it? So maybe it's part of a physiological response to
maybe we fuck. Should try to do a study on gay chat roulette.
You are fascinated with video roulette.
It is so fascinating.
By the way, the site that you were on was not chat roulette.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
We can't say.
It was a male version.
A male version, but so
it was so good.
But there's a website for everything. Shows.
There are some wonderful websites.
I just got a press release today for friskyhands.com. Guess what it's about?
Friskyhands.com.
Is it cat feeler uppers?
It's people that are in love with their cats.
It is?
No,
stop for a second. No one actually said it clearly. Oh. Friskyhands.com.
Oh, friskyhands.com. Yeah. He understood it was for cats.
Friskyhams.com. It's for pork.
You know what this website is, but the listener may not have heard you because so many people are talking at the same time.
Friskyhands.com. Yeah.
Whatever you want to say.
It's actually for gay deaf people.
Faster, don't put that gun down. Stop it.
I wonder how many people have done Russian roulette on a chat roulette. So anyway, no, it's for deaf people. So if any of our listeners out there have any friends that are deaf, they
how would they hear that?
Well, actually, we've had letters from people before that said that they're deaf, but they listen to the show because they're like legally deaf, but they can hear a little bit. And they
turn
just
up the volume.
They just crank it up.
Do they pay someone to type it for them?
No, but I think somebody should.
When you're legally deaf, you may actually have partial hearing in some of your ears. And so you listen to podcasts like this as a way of sort of like getting that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And well, so they turn up the volume.
Yeah.
Let's do a shout out to all the deaf listeners of the show.
Hey!
My first actually boyfriend was deaf. Mm-hmm. I actually learned sign language.
Hot.
You can say hot.
It's a blowjob.
Blowjob is this.
Really? Well, the listeners can't see that.
Okay, so I'll describe it. Okay, you make a fist and you're basically pantomiming a blowjob. Now, this is more interesting. You take scissors with both hands. Mm-hmm. And you bang your hands together.
That's
fucking.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Orgasm is taking the scissor fingers and wiggling them as they, and you orgasm.
Oh.
Wow. Away. And bisexual is sticking up two fingers and swinging them back and forth and back and forth, like from a man to a woman to a man to a woman.
Or you just stick them up in your...
I think so. That's what I heard.
Well, gay is when you take the letter G and you put it in your chin, which is traditionally the female zone of the language space.
Oh, I think it's the ball where the balls slap, isn't it?
I think it's the blue chakra.
The communication chakra.
And in Morocco, they have a new magazine for gay men. It's the first magazine in the Arab-speaking world called Mithli, which stands for the same as me. And you said they have a website for it, too, mithli.net.
Mithli.net, and you've used a service like Google Chrome, a browser, you can actually translate it from Arabic to English.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've actually taken the liberty of translating it for you.
Ooh.
Hello, to you, the number of April for gay. Enjoy Bit Forgive Hour.
Oh, wow.
Is it like get 48 issues in your hand cut off for like half price?
It really is interesting because it's actually the website mithli.net is actually in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you actually have the font installed on your computer, you can see all this like... You know, so let me read
you. Are there pictures of like hot Moroccan boys in there?
There's a couple in there, you know.
Are they shirtless?
No, it's more artsy. Oh. You know, because but anyways, let me read just some of the gobbledygook that's in there because sort of the translation doesn't work too well. An opinion piece. I am trying repeatedly to ignore the stupidity of some politicians have resulted in frustrating the Islamists and the imposition of trusteeship. We as communities and as individuals, but... Krachim Bilda, in many cases, provoke my words. See them stubborn, my resolve. Mm-hmm. And my intention is good and force me to discuss their positions in a lot of stupid and laughable and ridiculous at other times.
What was his name? Krachim Bolop?
Krachim Bilda.
Krachim Bilda.
Krachim Bilda.
So I don't know. It's hard to make sense of what it actually is about or what they're saying. But
well, if you live in Morocco, go check it out. And then, Martian, what's the new story you have there?
Oh, this piggyback. Piggyback enthusiast arrested. A man has been arrested on drug charges after high school athletes in Oregon were warned about him approaching them in the locker rooms and asking for piggyback rides.
What kind of freak goes into a locker room and asks people for a piggyback ride?
Did he get them?
Warning, not all piggybacks are as lighthearted and innocent as this one. The Oregon School Activities Association has advised athletes to look out for the suspect after he turned up on several games in Washington and Oregon, befriending the athletes and requesting piggyback rides in exchange for money. Police told KGW News Channel that they arrested the man in a hotel in Tualatin, Oregon on Monday on a drug-related warrant for Mount Vernon, Washington. An officer said an officer had seen him in recent days at a school event. We have received communication from several schools that the individual had talked his way into the locker room, had taken pictures, had a ball autographed, Wyatt, and had gone out to the parking lot and got piggyback rides from some of the players, said Tom Welter, executive director of OSAA.
Okay, well, that's enough.
All right, I only had one word left.
What was it?
While the man had a criminal record, he has not previously been convicted of piggyback-related offenses. After his arrest, he was transported to a Washington jail and then released on bail.
What's so wrong about getting a piggyback ride?
Well, reading is fundamental.
Yes. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me first.
What kind of ball did he have signed?
I know, it was like a left testicle.
You know, there's always some person who wants to get off by, you know, doing
weird things.
I like the guy who whined around people's houses and said, I'm testing for prostate cancer, so I need to examine your prostate.
And people let him, right?
Yeah.
I would love to be like, hey, I'm a crooked census worker, and I was wondering how many testicles you have in this household. Could I examine them, please?
With your mouth. With my mouth. Kiss each one and go, ooh, those are nice. So the crisis in the Gulf continues, and their attempt to try to lock it up with a four-story house-like box failed because ice crystals developed inside that didn't allow the thing to funnel out the oil.
Ice crystals?
Yeah.
So shave off.
Have you been following this? I guess not.
I knew about the box, but I didn't know exactly why it didn't work.
So they created this big giant box, almost the size of like a big four-story house, but it was like a pyramid. And at the top of, they were just going to have it land on top of the hole where the oil is gushing out of, and then have the top of it funnel out or suck out all the oil. But the problem is that ice crystals down there and those pressures and the cold temperatures have formed, creating to the equivalent of sand inside a funnel, not letting the stuff come out.
I think the only hope is for us to ask all the listeners to shave off their eyebrows and mail them to us so that we can collect them and have them absorb the oil in the spill.
You're not too far off, but I think we might need more than just eyebrows. I think all your
pubic hair.
And your
every hair on your body might actually save the oil spill.
Because people are actually doing it. Even like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence they've donated some nylons, and what they're doing is like they're collecting hair from hairdressers, dog groomers, and they're stuffing like pantyhose.
That's all gay hair.
Gay hair is saving the Gulf. That's right. And the idea came from a guy. He's a hairdresser in Alabama. His name is Phil McCrory.
Hey.
And he remembers looking at the Exxon Valdez and seeing like all those otters that were just covered with oil. And so he thought, well, geez, why not? So he swept up a bunch of oil, stuck it in a pantyhose, threw some oil in his pool, and then put the pantyhose in there, and it sucked up all the oil.
So,
so it means if you have an oil spill in your like backyard swimming pool, you can save it, or
yeah,
is this an actual real world scenario?
That's that a real actually... world. No, they're actually like taking the hair, and they are people are actually making these things, and they're called booms, and so they're putting out a boom, and the booms can collect the oil, and I imagine eventually they'll take it. You know, they'll take whatever there and probably burn it.
Could
somehow.
Some of the younger listeners with bad skin like put hair on their face and?
Well, isn't don't you already have hair on your face?
Yeah.
Well, how,
growing on your
you
face.
Absorb oil from your face.
I wonder.
Why are you always criticizing me?
So yeah, but they said it's not as good as those synthetic microfibers that can mop up to 15 times their weight in oil. Because hair only does like 6 times their weight in oil, and that's why your hair after you wash it when it's oily is so light and fluffy.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Why can't they make it more complicated, like genetically modify hair or something, and then patent it?
I don't know
it.
Why.
Oh, I just went to friskyhands.com, and it's not up yet? No.
It's coming soon.
Coming soon. They have nice web
It gets redirected
design.
To Purina, doesn't it?
Why? What?
It gets redirected to Purina after hours.
Meow, 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 meow.
Today's show is brought to you by Meow Mix.
Shut up, cat.
Now do a cat in heat. Do a cat in heat.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
Meow, meow, meow.
You're like a 4-year-old that discovered a tape recorder.
You know, mind.
It's like, I've never progressed from the age
Marcia,
of four.
Where are you playing out next?
I'm playing out in Orlando at the Orlando Fringe. I'm going to play David Bowie in this Labyrinth Live theatrical event at the Orlando Fringe Festival. Look for me in the tent. I may also be doing Fudgy's Death, but I'm definitely doing it at Great Small Works' Toy Theater Festival.
What? Say it in English.
Okay.
I mean,
you got to listen.
Sell it to the listener.
I'm going
to
be
pause after your statement so people can absorb what you're saying.
I am going to be performing at St. Anne's Warehouse on June 6th and 7th. I'm really hoping those are the dates.
In New York City.
With Great Small Works' Toy Theater Festival. Mm-hmm. And Toy Theater is theater made with toys.
Wonderful. I think you probably know somebody. Do you know somebody from there?
I have nobody. Okay. No, and
Orlando, Florida for Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
When's that?
It's May 20th through the 30th.
It's right sing-along on. Labyrinth.
It's sing-along Labyrinth, and it's at the Fringe Festival. Look at your Orlando Fringe Festival guide for more details on showtimes and ticketing prices.
So it's you, and it's organized by Heather Henson, which is Jim
Ibex
Henson.
Ibex Puppetry.
Okay, so you're coordinating. You're going to be the David Bowie in drag.
I hope so. I hope they don't change it up on me.
You're not going to be Jennifer Connelly.
No,
you don't have the eyebrows for it.
Oh. And so you guys are going to be playing Jim Henson's film Labyrinth, the film that actually killed him. You know swamp scenes. That's I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but
God, you're such a Debbie Downer.
Well, he died during the production of that film, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know about that.
That was his underwater suit when he was running the puppets leaked, and he was a workaholic, and he just worked through the film, and that's why that film is the best film that's ever been made.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, regardless of whatever Fausto just said. And I hope you come.
Okay. So Jacob Ganaway wants to know, Martian, even with my years of Google foo, I can only find one video of your performances. Do you have an archive or easily accessible website of your work?
So you just totally made that up.
No, I was going to read it before you told me to close my laptop. I have martiandelellis.com. I have growinguplinda.com. And I don't have tons of videos up right now because I'm reworking some music for Bridal Wildenstein.com.
Mike Riggenbach wants to know, I love the sound of your voice. Why do you talk the way you do?
I don't know what to answer. How could you ask the question in another way?
Does your parents and your brothers and sisters have the same infections? Because we were going someplace today and someone asked, are you from Russia or something? Like, they were really confused.
I know. I don't know what to tell them.
What do you think of that? Or is that like a...
I just, where does that come from? I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that people are natural mimics or pick up other people's laughs, and don't be ashamed of it. It's an asset. See?
But have you ever asked yourself, like, why do I
what is your speak normal voice?
I don't know what my normal voice is, and it frustrates all the vocal coaches out there. Hey. I mean, I did have a speech therapist as a child because I said S's like this. And I don't know. I guess being a lispy, plump little gay boy wasn't all that socially fabulous back then.
So you said Truman Capote.
So I turned it around and I made it my biggest asset.
Well, this just in on the celebrity death beeper is
beep beep beep. We should have a sound effect for that.
Holly Binet says hi. Before you finish that off here, let's get
Holly Bine
Binet from your college days.
I know her.
She's saying hi.
Hey.
One of the most amazing human beings ever. Niall Donaghy, oh my God, two shows with Martian is the past few weeks is so good. Martian, on the last show, you talked about how after university, you felt lost and down on your luck.
I didn't go to college in England, first of all.
Well, we don't know if she went to, or he went to college in England. I can't see your gender from your photo, so he or she. I, along with many others, find myself coming up to that same point in life that I feel lost. Uni is over. University is over, and I'm feeling lost because I have not a plan or clue to do with my life. Do you have any advice on that? Hold on.
No,
how to deal with these feelings of angst? That does not include bringing tiramisu. But honestly, is there any advice you would give?
Now, this is a real teachable moment here, because what's his name? Uni?
It's Niall.
It's Niall.
Oh, it's a guy. He's really cute.
Oh, hey,
Niall. How do you spell his name?
N-I-A-L-L.
Well, Niall. Hey, whatever your name is, Niall. Because you can start setting little goals for yourself.
From Liverpool. He is
like,
British.
Maybe we could meet up sometime.
You guys would make a cute boyfriend.
I'm going to make my bed every day. Or it could be like, I'm going to make three people smile. Or I vow to drink water today. Like, you can make all sorts of goals and then just put goal upon goal until the goals get bigger, and it's like a muscle and it flexes, see? And you just keep listening to the sound of my voice, Niall, and just see, so, it's gonna be okay, see?
You know, Niall, I have to say that you have very attractive friends, so you're fine.
Just yeah, you're good. Use your looks.
I mean, your friend Debbie surrounded by hot, hot men everywhere. It's like, it's pretty... It's nice.
Oh, don't be down. I mean, feel your feelings, but don't be too down, because there's a lot of fun in the world.
But this is a question. It's like a lot of colleges don't really, they sort of like almost like push the birds out of the nest when they graduate, and they don't really make a transition to allow internships to continue after school or to create the transition from going to college to going to the workplace. I always say that your college should be your first career coach and try to get a job before they get that last paycheck from you. Because once the bill is paid, you're going to get that diploma whether you like it or not, and you're going to get out the door.
Right. Well, what is this guy's even his degree in? Does he
we don't know, but you know, whatever it is that you're studying, whatever it is that you're passionate and interested about, try to get some sort of work in an industry. Even if it's volunteering time, you know, we are looking for interns here at Feast of Fun as well.
I need help alphabetizing things at home.
Well, not being a maid, actually learning about things.
Yeah.
Importing knowledge.
I can teach you a lot, Niall.
Being a maid for you. And I think, you know, I think it would be a good idea if you can work with your school to make that transition, and your school has a lot of resources. Before you graduate, you look for a job, look for a volunteer work.
I'm accepting performance art interns right now.
You are?
Yeah.
What would they do for you?
Lots of stuff. Like, there's lots of elements to work on, like booking shows and writing press releases and getting posters ready and generating a hype and signing contracts. And
so basically doing things that you don't know how to do yourself.
No, there's just a lot of things to do in that one person. And you know, it's always good to you guys have a buddy system going. It seems to be working out real well for you. See, why are you always? Why are you always criticizing? Well, I'm just
saying, look, because I listen to artists saying that they want interns, but it's like when you're, it's just as important when you have an intern to actually teach your intern something that they can actually benefit from. And so we're always working with people on like being better bloggers or actually how to do research online and how to like handle social media and how to leverage it so you can actually do whatever it is that you want to do in life. So an internship benefits both the person who's volunteering and the person who got hired by it. You know, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So what's the last thing you wanted to talk about?
So send me your resumes.
Huh?
Where can the people reach you, Martian?
1954 Hillhurst.
You don't want to give a home address.
It's not. It's my P.O. box. Stalk me there. Okay. I pick up mail every day.
1954 Hillhurst.
/173 Los Angeles, California. 90027.
And you can rewind that if you have problems. Yeah. And you can send an email to
iMartian
@mac.com.
God.
Nobody's gonna email you. I don't need
more junk. At Facebook. Just email me at Facebook.
So bother him at Facebook.
On Facebook. Martian DeLellis. Oh, it's so sad. Lena Horne died.
No.
Singer and actress died at the age of 92.
I loved her on The Muppets.
She was wonderful on The Muppets. I feel as though she'd been on there a couple of times, hadn't she?
I think so. Maybe she was on Sesame Street.
Maybe it was Sesame Street.
Oh,
I know. Lena. So, you know, she had a long, long career. At 92 years old, she was in a lot of all-black movies. And they said, she was quoted as saying, "The only time I ever said a word to another actor who was white was Catherine Grayson in a little segment called Showboat." So, yeah, she had a rough career early on.
My favorite thing that Lena Horne ever did was when she was on The Cosby Show. And the episode's titled Cliff's Birthday. And Cliff Huxtable, which is Bill Cosby's alter ego and the character on the show, was feeling down on the dumps about getting older. And his daughter, Lisa Bonet, Lisa Bonet's character's name?
Denise.
She was writing all this poetry about feeling sorry for herself and feeling lonely. And then they hung out and had a lovely evening with Lena Horne, which then Lena Horne pulls Denise aside and says, "You are full of so much energy and so beautiful and a family that loves you. When I was your age, I was walking around and feeling sorry for myself in a gloom and a funk. Just look at yourself and the love that you're surrounded and appreciate that." And every time I see like young people who are like feeling sorry for themselves and in this down funk, I always think of Lena Horne and that wonderful advice that she gave, not just to Lisa Bonet, but to all Americans. Take appreciation for what you have and the love in your life. And Marcia, it's a pleasure having you on the show. And
it pleasures me to be on the show.
No matter how crazy it is. I hope I'm
pleasuring the listener.
I see you pleasuring yourself right now. Could you stop until after the show's over?
Okay, I'll get off chat roulette. I'm sorry. Whatever.
So what do you get to pick the music that we played?
I love Don Juan Dracula, and I miss it. It's so classic.
Now Spell Rhythm?
That's Now Spell Rhythm. Yeah, this is the song Take Me Home from the album Young Debutantes 2. You might recognize it. We used to play it back when the album came out 3 or 4 years ago.
We should do
a
playlist of all Speak and Spell songs.
Shout out to Shane in Australia, the band's manager, who's a listener of the show. Hopefully you're still around. And we want to remind the listeners that without your financial support, we could not put out this show. We mean it. Go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution.
And join our page on Facebook. All you have to do is press like now, and then you instantly like Feast of Fun. And
do share you really it with your like friends. Us? They really like us.
I like you.
They love
us. I love us.
I like you.
And so coming soon on the website, we're implementing a like button. Mm-hmm. So you can just like it.
Like it.
And you can rank things up. So if things get liked a lot, they get sort of like retweeted and passed around. It goes viral. You can submit things, make them go viral, tell the world how fabulous you are.
Launch it.
Get antibiotics.
Martian DeLellis.
Martian, I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too. I had so much fun.
We're going to have to come out and visit you in California.
Yeah, come out and visit me in LA. Come to my P.O. box, everybody.
We're going to have a party in his box. Everyone's coming. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone. Mwah.
Tonight, take me home, put me down. Take me home, bring me down tonight. Take me home, bring me down. Take me home. Tonight.